Hey, welcome back to Abner and Sophie's Take. My name's Sophie.
And I'm Abner.
And today we're going to be talking about boundaries, what they are, the consequences of not having them, why they're biblical, and how to set and implement them. So, Abner, what is a boundary?
Boundaries are parameters, or like, obviously, that I call them like gates to put around, almost like a hedging yourself within a place, so that those that are, you kind of set what can be inside and what stays outside. And so to me, that is like boundaries. Like, yes, I'm doing this thing with my hand. You can't see it, but I'm making
money. Yeah, just around you. Something that goes around you to keep you safe, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So what is an example of a boundary, so we can sort of think about the consequences, I guess?
Yes. So for example, like me and you, we're friends. Mm-hmm. We are good friends. Me and Sophie are fantastic good friends. Like, you understand? Like, there's not a day where it's weird or whatever. It's just that, do you understand? Like, you can say something to me and I'm not offended or whatever it is. I'm just like, yeah. So imagine now, you've got the picture now of what kind of friends we are. So you decide to hop into your white car and drive that car on the M4, whatever you drive, which motorway you take, A40, whatever.
A few.
And you come to me.
I'm going to have to get on a few all the way to you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I live in the sticks. So imagine Sophie gets into our car, drives all them ways, all these motorways, and then she comes and she gets outside of my house. Bah, bah, bah. Sophie knocks the door, and then I'm not expecting anyone. I thought it was Amazon Prime, and I'm like, Russ, leave the parcel on the bin. And I get a phone call, I pick up, and Sophie's like, hey, Abner, I'm outside your house, open the door. Huh? Wait, hold on, world, stop.
Hold up.
Now, this is where we're going to have a problem, because Sophie didn't tell me that she's coming to my house. Do you understand? So that's put me in a weird place. Now it's going to affect whatever I say will still have an effect, because the boundary has been obviously violated, you know? So if I say to Sophie, yeah, sure, you know what? Let me come downstairs and open the door. She don't know what I'm going through. I might be going through like a panic attack. I might be dealing with family issues. The house might not be cleaned. And I'm very like, I'm a clean freak. Like, you can't come to that house if I haven't cleaned it up. Do you understand? So when she comes in now, here's the problem. So now I've let her in. That it doesn't matter. Your boundaries aren't violated. No, my boundaries are, because now it affects me. So I may have resentment in my heart. Now, when we look at Proverbs 25, verse 17 says, let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. The Bible even says, bros, don't be getting up and going to people's houses like that. Do you understand? Yeah. Like, so that's a problem. Now, I'm going to be sinning, because I will have resentment against her. Like, this girl really came to my house without knocking the door, without calling me to tell me that she's coming to my house, right? And then, on the other front, it might be that I actually offend Sophie by saying, actually, Sophie, I'm not going to open the door because I've got loads of things going on. Or I can open the window and have a chat with you, or open the door, but you can't really come in. She's going to be like, whoa, like, how can I drive all this way and you treat me like this? We've got a problem, don't we? So either way, the boundaries have been violated. So it's going to bring about some changes in our friendship, because you didn't tell me that you're coming to my house. And I was not prepared for you to come in. So I've now enforced a boundary, but in doing so, it's affected our friendship moving forward.
Yes. And that is the thing, like, boundaries, when they're not respected or when they're not implemented, for example, can lead to consequences in a relationship. Sometimes only one person experiences the consequence, you know. So in this case, you know, if you don't say to me, no, Sophie, you're stepping on a boundary here by just coming around and not telling me before, not asking me before, the consequence is to you, is to your emotions, you know, and you're responsible for your emotions. Yep. I'm not responsible for your emotions. They're yours to take account of. And whatever you was meant to be doing with your day, you're responsible for that, right? So by you not communicating to me what your boundaries are, or reiterating what your boundaries are, you're the one that's going to have to pay the consequence, right?
Yep, that's true.
However, if, you know, it's important that we communicate our boundaries ahead of time as well. With friends is one example. You know, if it's clear, you need to set out what is clear, you know, to your friends. So I don't like it when people just turn up at my house without asking what I'm doing, you know. And sometimes it can be a bit hard to, I think, it can be quite hard sometimes to just say that, right? It can be quite random. But at the same time, I think there's a way for these things to be implied, but it really depends on the person. You know, you could have communicated all of your boundaries, but sometimes it's not until actually the person comes to tread on your boundary that they actually realize, oh wait, this is real. But they only know it's real if you say no, I don't, I'm busy today. Like, if you want to see me, you need to call me beforehand.
I think with boundaries as well, it's invisible. I don't have a list written on my head of all the things that I don't like and all sorts of things. And sometimes, like, I even forget there are certain things. This is one thing as well. I forget I don't like certain things until they happen. And I'm like, hey, hold on. Do you understand? It's like,
when your feelings indicate to you, oh, wait, one of my boundaries have been trodden on right now.
Yes, exactly. So it's very easy to kind of mistake or just forget that, oh, I've got boundaries. I need to communicate my boundaries. That's part of the relationship that you're building with people. You need to communicate that this is a boundary. Like, know your place. Do you understand? Not in a rude way. You know, even let's bring Jesus into this, because this is my favorite. Jesus had boundaries. Yes, he did. One of the things that I love is that Jesus, he got his friends together. He's like, guys, huddle around, come with. I need to tell you something. It's important. And he said, guys, the Son of Man is going to be handed over to the authorities and be crucified. But on the third day, he's gonna rise up. Peter was like, I'm gonna rebuke that right now. Jesus, hold on, you've crossed the boundary. He said, Satan, get thee behind me. Peter would have known from that moment on, do not rebuke him when he's talking about this. Because Jesus was like, bro, where were you when we were weak? Before I formed you, I had already decided I'm going to die.
Yeah.
How are you going to come and tell me this now? Huh?
Yeah.
So hold on right there. You're crossing a boundary.
Yep. Literally. And I suppose, let's talk about some of the other places, right? So outside of friendship. So it's clear where friendships can have boundary consequences, either by not having them. So if you actually don't have any boundaries, right, in your friendships, it means that people can just walk all over you, you know, they can take stuff from you. And by you not having boundaries sometimes, it means that you don't appreciate other people's boundaries. So when someone says no to you, well, where you don't have any boundaries yourself, you now can't understand why people are saying no. You know, if you just let people walk all over you anyhow, and you now have a friend and you're like, oh, hey, can you lend me this money? Or can you do this for me? Or can you come around here? Or can you sit on the phone to me for 3 hours tonight and listen to all my problems? Like, just talk, like, just listen to me. And they say, I can't tonight. Sorry, I'm really busy, but I can speak to you for 20 minutes. They're going to be like, but what? Like, her boundary, what's this? And that they'll be insulted by it. They won't understand that, no, this is kind what they're doing to you. They're giving you their time, you know, but they're really stewarding what they can give you right now.
That's true.
So what about family? I feel like family boundaries are some of the hardest ones to implement, because more often than not, especially for children, you grow up without really being aware of what boundaries are, right? So you don't really set them in place with your parents.
That is true. Like, I think for me, I'm Ghanaian, so my mum is very, like, there is no boundaries. There isn't. And I love my mum very much, but there just isn't any boundaries. And explaining to her what they are would be like, you're insulting me. So it's like, there's certain things. There's aunties and uncles as well. They don't have boundaries. Like, there's certain questions you cannot ask people. Huh? When are you going to get married? I've been seeing you walking up and down. Where's your husband? All these weird, excuse me, hello. I am my own person. I'm a 28-year-old woman. You can't be coming up to me and asking me such questions. Do you understand? But that you're crossing a boundary. You're crossing something that, first of all, I am not... I'm not comfortable talking to you about, you know, but saying that, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk about this, to them, it's like, you're disrespecting me. Like, you're very disrespectful to say that. So with the family one, I'm not even going to lie to you right now. I have not figured it out. So I'm going to leave this to Sophie.
Yeah, it's hard, man. Boundaries with your parents is hard. And I feel like, You're right. It's like they can feel like it's you're acting like hatred, like in a form of hatred against them, a form of like, I don't like you, so I'm gonna put this da 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 around me. But it's protection for your own soul. Like, that's what boundaries are. That's what we're talking about. It's a spiritual thing. It's not, you don't actually walk around with a fence around you, right? Yeah. But we're talking about protecting our soul, our spirit. And not having to tell someone everything just because they ask, just because they think, well, I made you. So, well, no, you didn't make my spirit. God made my spirit. You know, you may have formed me, but I might be made from you. You may have raised me, but I am my own being. And I think it's really important that we, you know, we have these boundaries about our own personal stuff around our parents in particular, because it allows us to eventually detach from our family in a healthy way, you know. We don't need to tell our parents everything just because they raised us. Like, if you have I'm trying to think of an example, like if you have a counseling session, right, your parents don't have a right to know everything you've now discussed in counselling because they raised you, because they just don't. It's not even, doesn't even need to be explained, right? They just don't.
And I think as well, like, when you have children, you realise that the Lord has put you in charge of that child to bring them up in the way of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
But you have to allow their personalities to develop under your guardianship, under your love, under your protection, under your care. There are things that you're going to say no to because you're protecting their boundary, you know, and you're also like enforcing that, hey, this is how you live in this world. But through all of that, the child should be able to have a voice so that it doesn't get drowned out, you know, by other people and living in other people's shadows. Because that's why we have many problems with boundaries today, is because parents didn't say no to their children or didn't tell their children that this thing that someone has done to you is a violation of your boundaries. Yes. There are many people that are abused. There are many people that are, they're hurt verbally, physically, sexually, mentally, because their boundaries are completely like violated and abused. And then you kind of just throw them into the world and expect them to just somehow, you know, get on with it. But there needs to be a rebuilding as well after someone has been violated, so that they reinforce those kind of boundary settings. You can have boundaries at any time in your life. It's your right.
And I think, yeah, I think family boundaries are the most important boundaries, because they are where you learn boundaries from your parents, from the way they act towards you, the way they act towards other people, you know, with their own boundaries. And I think, you know, it's really important, as we, you know, we're not parents right now, but by the grace of God, maybe someday, hopefully, I hope so, we will be, you know. And we need to make sure that, like you said, like, we show our children that they are, you know, they have their own responsibility towards themselves. And it's interesting. So 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body, right? We were bought by the blood of Jesus, you know. We are not. We don't belong to our parents. So it's important that we remember that when we have a hard time having boundaries in our family, that we're not owned by people, we're owned by God. So, you know, if they're trying to demand stuff from us and we're finding it hard to say no, and it's having a consequential effect on what God is asking us to do, we really need to reevaluate who are we serving, God or man?
Yeah, yeah, amen. We do. I think with families is one thing. Another one I think is church ministry.
Yeah, this is a big one. This is an important one where there has been a lot of manipulation in terms of whether you are allowed to have boundaries, whether you are allowed to say no.
Yes. And, you know, I've been to churches where I think I will always have to deal with this because I'm seeing that even after leaving certain places where I've been to, like certain churches, I still have to ask myself, I second guess myself, is am I allowed to even think like this, or am I sinning against God, because I just don't have the capacity to deal with this at the moment. You know, I've been to places where, like, oh, I'm not well, I'm suffering from a chronic kind of pain at the moment. You have to do it. Like, we're all putting in, like, this is what we are supposed to do. You know, the pastor demands this from us. And if you don't put yourself in it, how can you show yourself that approval and all this stuff? Like, and before you know it, you actually resent those people, and you start to resent going into, like, doing work for the Lord. It doesn't become out of doing it for love, but it becomes out of doing it because someone told you that if you don't do it, you don't love the Lord, you know? And one of the things I always have to remind myself is Romans 14:23, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Mm-hmm. Like, so if I'm not doing this with the faith in my heart, like this thing, I know that I'm doing it in love for the Lord. Why am I doing it? I'm not doing it out of like faith. I'm not doing it out of love for the Lord, but because someone told me that if you don't do it, you're not honoring God. You're not honoring your pastor. You're not honoring your leader. And you just end up just like throwing the towel in and saying, nah, man, I'm walking away. And if you're not careful, and if the Lord is not there with you, you'll just forsake the whole thing. You'll see it out. You know, and that's really, really upsetting, because we're seeing that a lot where people just they just get tired and think that the Lord is the one demanding this from them, whereas it's just people demanding this from them and manipulating them.
I think everything you've said, definitely. And the other one is that, you know, if you say no when someone is coming to ask you for help, that automatically you're not loving them, you're being selfish. That is another huge myth used, you know, to bash down boundaries biblically, is that they're selfish when they're not, you know. They can be if you have extra strict, rigid, selfish boundaries, but boundaries by nature are not selfish, because like, let's take it, you know, why are boundaries biblical? As you've already said, if we're going to call boundaries selfish, then we are calling Jesus selfish, because Jesus had boundaries. Was perfect, without blemish, sinless, right? He came to serve us. He's not selfish. He's wise. And he knew how to steward himself and his time and his energy. You know, Jesus would go and perform miracles. He would heal people. But then he would withdraw from the crowds and pray and rejuvenate himself. That is a boundary, by taking himself out of people, distancing himself, taking himself away from people so that they can't pull at him. That is a form of protection. That is a form of a boundary. Now no one can get access to me, and I'm gonna, you know, take it all in. He had another boundary by just taking James, John and Peter up to the Mount of Transfiguration. No, this isn't for everyone to see. This is private. This is intimate for me. So the rest of you are going to wait down here. The people that I trust, I'm going to let in and see this, you know. So many people feel like they have to tell everyone everything, you know, the whole group of friends, or you have to tell the whole church what you're dealing with.
You have to have boundaries. And I think another thing is that we say, many Christians, for example, many Christians are boundaryless. Because sometimes they are told, like, you got to turn the other cheek. When they ask for this, you have to give it to them. And remember love, remember love. Love is multifaceted. Like, it has different things. So love says no. Love has self-control. Love puts in, like, healthy boundaries to protect the other person as well.
Yeah.
So saying that, if you have to turn the other cheek, or, like, just do it, just do it. Doing everything, like, you're going to have resentment, and then you're going to have to deal with real sin. Like, do you understand? Yes, so we need 100%. To be careful. Like, why on earth do we allow all this stuff in our lives? Like, it's actually adding more jargon when we're actually trying to deal with things that are inside already. We're just adding more on top of ourselves. It's not right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not right at all. And, you know, it says in scripture, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So if, you know, Abana asks me to do something for her and I've got a ton of work to do already, or I'm ill and I'm literally drained, and if I say yes to her, I'm now going to not be able to do something later on that I've already said yes to. That's not me being selfish if I say no to her. That's me being a wise steward of what God has given me to do. But if I say yes to her when I can't do it, then I'm not letting my yes be yes and my no be no. You know, I'm going against scripture. I am sinning. You know, I'm going against the command of God. And, you know, another thing that's important is to see how we can sometimes let our no be a yes without putting ourselves out. So, you know, if Abana said to me, oh, Sophie, can you do this for me? And I physically can't do it when she's asking me to do it for, I'd say, yeah, I'd love to help you. However, I can't right now. If you need this now, try and think of someone else you can suggest, you know, to give that person to help, or say, I can do it another time. Or if someone wants to see you, you know, if I just rung Abana and I was like, hey, Abana, can I come round now? Which would be the better alternative to the scenario that we gave at the start. Yeah. And Abana's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to see you, but I'm super busy today. How about we meet up next week? You know, she's not said, no, I don't want to see you. She's reinforced the fact that, you know, I'm not free right now. But let's do something next week, you know, like sometimes we can be too, I'm not going to let anyone, I'm just going to say, no. I'm just going to go into, it's like, you're going into defense mode. There's no love there. You know, you have to approach everything in wisdom.
Yeah, you have to. And I think some of the, like, basic things that you can do to help your boundaries when people do ask you to do something, like, on the spot, is have a diary and write the things down you are going to do in your day. You can see free slots that you can use to spend time with God. And then if someone is calling you for help, if you look at your time and you're like, you know what, I can fit this in today. Do that in love. Like, I can give you a part of my day. Like, being someone without, it's easy to tell when someone hasn't got any boundaries because they don't have any plans for their days. That's how I take it. Like, what's your plan for today? If you don't have, like, a solid plan of what you're going to do from the a.m. to the p.m., I know that everything is everywhere. Trust me, I've lived that life. It's not nice. So, like, try to have those kind of things put in place and learn from the master of all, which is our Lord Jesus, and God our Father has boundaries. He has boundaries. You can't enter into the faith without, like, adhering to, what do we have? The commandments, the whole Bible. Do you understand? So he's given you, like, these are my boundaries. You know, you can't have a candlelit dinner with sin in God's house. He's going to tell you, no, you got to get rid of this stuff. Do you understand? Yeah. And then you'll be back into, like, my abode. Like, when you come into his rest, that's his boundaries. Like, you don't, you're not outside of them, but you're inside of them. So we can learn from God our Father. As we spend time with him, we can see, oh wow, like, he has his boundaries and he's invited me inside this perimeter of space, like, to be with his son and commune with his son, so I can start to implement some boundaries in my life that's healthy as well. You know,
I think consequences are really important, right, to implement if people don't respect your boundaries. And there are consequences if you don't have boundaries yourself. You know, for example, what Abner was saying about having a schedule, I think, especially as adults, it is important to plan your day, and it doesn't have to be hourly by hour, you know, but it's good to try and plan things out, just so you can see what time you do have. It's a way to steward the day that has been given to you as a gift from God, you know, with wisdom. But, you know, if you don't take accountability for your time, you can end up feeling drained. You can end up having anxiety. You know, we done a pod. Our last podcast was on anxiety and depression in a pandemic. And a part of that, we spoke on boundaries, and anxiety being a result of us not sticking to our own personal boundaries, or just not having them in the first place. So, you know, we can experience consequences there. And another way that we can implement consequences is by withdrawing ourselves. You know, if a friend steps on your boundary, but they just wasn't really aware of it, and then you communicate it to them and they respect it, then there doesn't need to be a consequence, like in terms of an enforced one. There will be some payoff, right? Like either their time will now be wasted or whatever it might be. But if someone does not respect your boundaries time and time again, because you're not really doing anything to be like, no, this is important to me, then you need to do something. And a lot of the time is distance, physical and emotional distance is a good way to protect yourself and protect the friendship or the relationship, whatever it is, long term. You know, I've told you this is a problem for me, like whether it be talking about something that goes against your morals, or constantly intruding in your time, whatever your boundary is that someone is stepping on. Say, you do not respect my boundary, so I'm going to have to leave, or you're going to have to leave. You know, in the Church of Corinth, when people were in unrepentant sin, they were told to leave the congregation. You know, when people had unrepentant sin in the Old Testament, God would remove himself from there, you know. God wouldn't stay around unrepentant sin, you know. So you have to consider that, A, you are communicating your boundaries clearly, and that, B, there is a consequence. Otherwise, people probably won't respect it, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely, the truth. And even as you were speaking, sometimes your boundaries is rest. A day of rest, like have one. Do you understand? Yeah. You are commanded to have rest as well. Yeah. It's not every day pile on stuff that you have to do all the time. Like you yourself, respect your boundaries, you know? Yeah. So
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that is actually it. It's one thing for other people to respect your boundary, but people aren't going to respect your boundary if you don't respect it or enforce it. You know, you can have a boundary in your head, but if your boundary is, I don't want to gossip, right? But then people come to you and they're talking about people and you don't tell them, I'm not comfortable talking about this. Mm. Well, then they're not going to really know it's your boundary.
Yeah.
You know, you need to, I'm not going to talk about this. And if this is all you want to talk about, then I'm going to go. You know, you actually need to make it clear. You're not just saying, oh, I don't want to talk about this, but if you carry on talking about it, I'm not going to go anywhere. You're still partaking in it, right? Like, we're meant to flee from these things, flee from sinful things. And that's why boundaries are great, because you can keep the bad things out, you know.
And then find the good things in.
Boundaries need a gate, right? Yeah. That's another really important thing, is that boundaries need a gate. And Galatians says that we should carry each other's burdens, in chapter 6, but it also says that each one should carry his own load, right? Mm. And burdens, I think the Greek is like, means boulder, which is something you can't carry on your own. It's something too big to carry on your own. And that they're the times when we need to ask for help and accept help. They're the times that we need to have that gate where we can let people in, you know? Christ says that I stand at the door and knock. That's a door into my soul. That's Christ wants to come in. He's a good thing that you can let in to your soul, like hallelujah. But there are times where we need to be responsible for what is in our gate that we need to look after on our own. I think sometimes we can have boundary issues in the sense that we depend too much on other people to do stuff for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think on that note, we have come to the end of talking about boundaries, and we hope that you put some in. Yes. We will definitely be looking at what we've even said, because like living by having boundaries, especially in this time in the pandemic, we've seen what it's like, that like, whoa, I didn't have any, or I can improve on my boundaries, or I can improve on letting people in. We definitely need to sort our boundaries out, sort it out in it. So let's do that.
Yes. So we will be back with another episode soon. But in the meantime, make sure that you listen to our previous episodes and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Take the Gospel. We're sharing some good stuff, sharing some examples of boundaries and things like that. So make sure you stick around, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.